Since the ordeal, Ryan had quickly managed to walk off the stiffness of being trapped. They reached the Brownboro Diner in Fairplay just as the sun was setting. The Smallville seemed untouched by the ravening gang, with smoke coming from several chimneys and the smell of cooking drifting from open windows. The eatery was completely empty, except for a middle-aged woman wearing a spotless white linen apron. She looked up as the six strangers walked in, her face a mask of apprehension, tinted with fear.
Yeah? You looking for a meal?
This is a diner, right?
Sure is. Best in town. Brownboro's been going since way back before Skydark.
You look like you might have been expecting different company.
JB leaned the scattergun in the corner of the room and took a seat at a rectangular table.
Been some bad ones around here. You ain't with them?
A gang of Stickies and Norms? We saw their bloody leavings all over the Rockies. No, we aren't them.
Figured you wasn't them.
We came through Alma. They took Thatville apart. How come Fairplay isn't touched?
Some folks think they're just waiting for the right moment. Some folks run to do their bidding. Brown-nosed bastards. Nobody'll stand up to them.
Many people prefer the option of living on their knees to dying on their feet.
Right there, mister. Fairplay's useful to them. Get all the stores they want on the slate here. Not that they'll ever pay their dues.
They eat here?
She looked at Jack, clearly taken aback at his white hair, pale face, and ruby eyes.
Eat here? Sometimes. I make them pay. Jack up front for what they want. Do like to think where that Jack comes from. Blood money is what I reckon it must be.
They likely to stop by tonight?
Hardly. Always get back to the camp up in Harmony before full dark.
They've taken Harmony?
Sure have. Here they did some chilling and raping. Usual story. Most of the living are too scared to run now. One or two got out in time. They hide around here. Now they could look in for some supper tonight.
The companions each ordered their food and then waited, mostly in silence. Christy was restless, shifting in her seat, glancing out as the darkness folded itself around the little ville.
So close.
Excuse me, miss?
Yeah?
We're going to be spending the night. Do you know where we might be able to stay?
Sure. There's a few empty cabins. I'll tell you which ones to try when you're ready to go. They belong to some of the locals who've run away. Ones who reckon the gang will pay us in blood when the markers fall due. Seems pointless to me. Up and running. It's about as much good as waving a lantern at a runaway train. There's the food. Be right back.
The waitress disappeared inside the kitchen. She returned a moment later with a tray in each hand.
Venison stew with creamed potatoes. Same with roasted potatoes and peas and beans. Steak and bacon pie with wild rice and chicken gravy. Breasted chicken with french fries and sliced tomatoes and oil. Trout with guts so big I've divided into two portions. With cress and lettuce and a side order of fries. Sourdough bread and our own salted butter. Got some blueberry jelly I made myself if anyone's interested. There's some red currant sauce with the venison and onion sauce with the pie and the chicken. Fish has its own white sauce with pepper and some of my own herbs. That everything you ordered?
Ryan looked at the mountain of food.
I reckon it'll keep us going for a while.
We've got some good desserts as well. Take some pride in my pies, I do.
What do you got to drink?
Mostly beer, with beer as the second choice and milk as the third choice.
I think we'll all have a beer.
As the waitress walked away, they each dug into their food.
The trouble nowadays is that food is killing the art of conversation.
Last few days have been either feast or famine, haven't they? Eating in two good eateries, and in between living off rocks, gravel, and rainwater.
Prefer a beer to rainwater.
A heavily built, middle-aged, unshaven man peered into the diner, blinking at the bright light from the oil lamps. His eyes glanced over their table, stopping at Christy.
Little Christy! My firstest and bestest girl!
Christy stood, her hand dropping in an automatic reflex to the butt of her Smith & Wesson 640. Then her green eyes widened in surprise, recognition slowly dawning.
Kaya! It's Carl! Carl Lanning, Herb's boy!
The man glanced behind him to make sure that nobody was close by or watching him before he walked inside the diner. He walked over to sit at the table, ignoring Ryan and the others, and held out a hand for Christy to shake.
Little... by the gods! Never thought I'd ever set eyes on you again, Christy.
Ryan studied Carl Lanning. Christy had told him how, when she had been an adolescent girl in Harmony, under her mother's tutorage, she had decided that the time had come for her to lose her virginity. And Carl Lanning, about her age, son of the blacksmith, had been the chosen candidate. She had seduced him, using him for her own purposes, but it had affected Carl, and he had jumped to the conclusion that they were as good as engaged, almost married. He followed her everywhere around the ville and neglected his chores until she'd finally driven the message home that she was going to leave Harmony one day and would leave it as a single woman. Carl was a year or so older than Christy, but he appeared at least twice that. His face was weathered, and his eyes had the floating dimness of the heavy drinker. His features looked as if they were set in stone, and he had a nervous tick, a nerve twitching beneath his left eye. It was possible to see behind the rapid aging that he had once been a handsome youth. Ryan's guess would have put him on the scales now at the 250 mark and about 5 feet 9 inches tall. The handsome youth had vanished under the weight of far too many glasses and bottles.
So, after all these years, to meet up like this, let me introduce you to my friends, Carl.
Sure thing. I guess I knew you'd come back one day, Christy. Folks said you've flown the coop forever and a day. But I told them no. Knew that one day Harmony would pull you back, though there's been changes.
We can talk about that in a moment. First off, this is Ryan Carter, Mildred Wyeth, and John B. Dix.
Yeah, good to meet you. Changes, Christy. By the gods, but that's true enough.
John B. Dix, Jack Lauren, and the old guys, Doc
Tanner. These changes all started after
I fear
you left.
That I have no time for any man who uses vulgar words and vulgar language and vulgar manners, Mr. Lanning. But I assume that you are under stress, and I will make allowances. I am pleased to meet any friend of Miss Roth.
Doc stood and offered his hand across the table. After a few seconds' delay, Carl stood and shook hands.
Sorry. You was right to slap me on the wrist, Doc Tanner. My pa would have wailed the tar out of me for being so rude, especially to friends of the daughter of Mother Sonia.
Is Mother...
Oh, why, sure. You wouldn't heard nothing about Harmony, would you? Unless folks here in Fairplay told you. Which way did you come anyway, Christy?
From Glenwood Springs to Leadville and across the tops. Then down and up again through Alma. Put my son into Nicholas Brody's school. You heard of it, Carl?
Guess I have. So you've seen some of the work of the gang of killers we got landed with. By the gods, but there are some triple sicko sons of bitches there. I'm on the run from them. Been after me for days, just because I stood against them. Laid one cold with Pa's old hammer. Busted his skull like a ripe melon.
Lanning looked toward the kitchen. The waitress was standing by the doors.
Any chance of some pan-fried chicken with hash browns and grits? And maybe some whiskey?
Told you we'd give you the basics, Carl, until you got yourself together. Doesn't include giving you jack-free liquor to muddle your brains.
Just a glass.
One.
Thanks a million.
I'll go get the food and let you talk private to your friends.
The woman turned and headed back toward the kitchen.
How many in this gang?
Carl turned to J.B., narrowing his eyes as though he'd already forgotten who the armorer was.
The gang? Oh, there's fucking stickies in it, you know. What kind of man rides with muty shitters like that?
How many?
Stickies?
All of them.
Around 20 or so norms, and half that many stickies. Too many for you and your friends, Christy, even with all those pretty blasters.
Tell me about Mother Sonia and Tyus McCann and Peter Maritza. What happened in Harmony after I left?
Changes, Christy. By the gods, changes. My father, Herb, died a few years ago of a bloody flux after the wheel of a cart shattered and the rig fell on him. Peter Maritza was killed the previous year. He'd gone hunting and vanished. The spring thaw revealed his desiccated corpse with both legs broken. You think it was an accident? Uncle Tyus McCann went into a decline after you had run away from Harmonyville. You was always his sweetheart among the whole family. Broke his heart, Christy. Broke mine. Most of the young fellas in the ville. But Uncle Tyus sort of lost interest in everything. Faded away and dried out like a leaf in the fall. Got one of them coughs that bring out the red roses, you know what I mean?
When did he die?
2 years after you went.
There was a long silence while Christy tried to summon up the courage to ask the one question that she wasn't certain she wanted answered. Despite his lack of sensitivity, it was obvious that Carl knew what the question was, and he was backing off from responding to it.
And my mother?
Mother Sonia. By the gods, Christy. But I've been dreading meeting you one day and having to be the one to tell you about what happened.
She's dead?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, we don't know.
Christy was on her feet again, pointing an accusing finger at the man.
You may have turned into a fat old drunk, Carl, but you better just tell me what happened clear and careful. Now.
To everyone's surprise and embarrassment, the blacksmith's son put his head in his hands. The woman owner of the brown burro went and patted Lanning on the back.
There now, Carl. There now. It wasn't your fault. You weren't the one up and ran away and broke the heart of the whole ville. Here's your whiskey.
Fire blast. Will someone just tell us what exactly happened to Christy's mother?
Nobody knows. A few months after you left her, it seems she left Harmony in the mid of the night, abandoned her home and all her possessions. Left no note, no message, no word. Nobody's seen or heard from her since.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Gaia, help me.
Sonia Roth just disappeared off the face of the earth. Not even a whisper. We asked packmen and traders and travelers to look out. She was kind of distinctive to recognize, but we never got a word. By the gods, Christy, sweetheart, I'd have given all the Jack in the Vills and Deathlands not to have been the one to tell you this.
I wanted her to be alive, so I could make it up to her for... Or if she'd been dead, then I could have mourned her and made my peace that way. But with her gone, just gone.
At least we can do something to clean Harmonyville from its plague of rats. You want to do that, lover?
Yeah. I think I'd like that very much.
As the woman from the brown burrow had told them, it was easy to find unoccupied cabins in Fairplay. Carl had showed them to one that he'd been using since he fled Harmony, which had enough space for Jack and Doc, while the place next door had two double rooms, ideal for JB and Mildred and Christy and Ryan. There had been no argument that they'd start off toward Harmony, about a half-day's brisk hike, as soon as the first light reached Fairplay. Carl would act as their guide, getting them as close as possible to the Ville, where they would do what was necessary against the gang of killers. Ryan lay in bed next to Christy, not sure whether or not Christy would feel like making love. He held off, knowing how deeply distressed she had been at the news of her mother's bizarre disappearance. But she moved close to him as soon as they were between the slightly damp sheets, with a half dozen thick blankets piled over them. Her hand reached for his hand, holding him tight in silence. Then her leg moved against his, over his thigh, her knee nudging at his groin. Ryan reacted instantly, and he could actually feel her smile at him.
Ever ready, lover? I wasn't sure you wanted to.
I thought you might not feel like it. After the news of all the deaths and learning about your mother.
One of the great things that Mother Sonia taught me from her store of wisdom was to try not to allow yourself to be loaded with guilt over something you couldn't help. Leaving when I did was the right thing then. It's still the right thing. What happened doesn't alter that at all. I don't believe she's dead. Like it was with Trader. Everyone figured he'd bought the farm. Then he was back almost as good as new. I think it'll be like that with Mother Sonia. I do love her. I honest and truly do. One day we'll find her.
They left Fairplay so early in the morning that the brown burrow wasn't even open for breakfast.
How about let me have one of your blasters, Ryan? You got two, so is the skinny little guy with the glasses. You could give me one.
No. We all carry the blasters we do because they give us balance. Take anything away and the balance goes. Look after your blaster, and it'll look after you.
Ryan had a momentary flash of when he'd been talking to Nicholas Brody about Dean's stay with the school. The headmaster had commented that the boy hadn't wanted to be parted from his beloved 9mm Browning high-power automatic. Brody had suggested strongly that Ryan should take the gun away with him, but had finally agreed to keep it secure and the school safe, against the time the dean was finally ready to leave.
You know, Fairplay had once been called Salt Creek, and it was a summer hunting and trapping ground for the Utes, bigger than all of Rhode Island, this valley. Tyce McCann told me that.
Ryan noticed that the blacksmith's son kept glancing at Christy as they followed the trail toward Harmony, and he twice brushed clumsily against her at places where the track had grown narrow. It was all too obvious that Carl still carried a torch for Christy Roth. Ryan filed the fact away, aware that it could prove potentially dangerous. Later that morning, they came around a bend in the overgrown blacktop and saw the Ville spread out ahead of them. Harmony lay in a shallow bowl of fertile land, around the 10,000-foot mark. Christy stood with her hands on her hips, staring down into her old home.
Gaia, I've come back.
Someone coming. 2 men on mules. I take it might be stickies.
Jack's eyesight in the cloudy half-light of the morning was impeccable. Everyone took shelter among the large boulders that were scattered on both sides of the highway and watched as the two unsuspecting figures drew closer, both riding spavined donkeys, their long legs angled out, heels almost brushing the muddy trail.
Chill the first one silently. We'll take the other prisoner. Jack, use your knives.
Their clothes were ragged and torn, showing the sickly gray pallor of their skins beneath. They were both male, with stringy hair that seemed pasted to their bony skulls. They both had weeping sores all over their faces, with clusters of yellow spots around their thin-lipped mouths. Each had a large handgun strapped to his waist. As they drew closer, it was easy to see the circular suckers that marked their hands and fingers, giving them their Deathland's name of Stickies. Jack waited until the Stickies had passed him, then rose from his hiding place, blade in hand. The blade struck the closest of the Stickies through the side of the throat, just below and behind the right ear. The other Sticky thought his comrade had simply fallen from the back of the burrow and was starting to turn with a sickly grin strung across his face.
Wrong move, and you get to be dead.
Ryan held the rifle at his hip. JB came into sight on the other side of the trail, the Smith & Wesson scattergun covering the Sticky. Christy, Mildred, and Doc also showed themselves, as did Carl Lanning a few moments later. He was gripping a short-handled sledgehammer that he normally carried tucked in his broad belt.
Why you kill Jim, Bob? You're gonna get chilled when word gets to Rastavan. Triple Stoops are soon chilled like Jim, Bob.
Get off the burrow. We want to ask you some questions.
For a moment, it looked as if the Sticky was going to ignore the command, sitting negligently on the back of the burrow, hands holding the dangling reins. Finally, slowly, he dismounted.
Sit down right over there.
Ryan pointed with a rifle to a shelf of rock set among the bracken and heather.
Look after the animals, Jack.
You chill me?
Maybe. Depends on you telling us what we want to know about the rest of your friends.
Friends? I ain't have no fuck friends.
The rest of them gathered around the prisoner, Carl standing just behind him.
The rest of the gang, where they're living. Where you keep the gas wag, weapons, that kind of stuff.
The Sticky's hands were knotting and fumbling at each other, the tiny suckered circles in the palms and along the strong fingers, opening and closing like nervous mouths.
I don't tell you that.
Without warning, Carl hefted the hammer behind the mutie. Crimson blood oozed from the Sticky's right ear, from his nose and mouth, and leaked from the corners of his watery eyes. Ryan turned the stire toward Carl.
You idiot! I said not to hurt him!
We was gonna chill him anyways! Bastard had it coming, didn't he?
Sure he did, and sure we would, but we all knew he wasn't to be harmed until we'd questioned him. Now...
JB gestured at the corpse with a scattergun.
You dumb bastard! I should gut shoot you and leave you like a dog in the dirt! One more stoop move like that, and I swear...
Carl backed away, his bloodshot eyes swimming with fear, hands in front of his chest.
I just thought it was time.
Thinking was what you didn't do.
You haven't seen what those bastard chillers been doing around these parts.
I've seen the dead and I've seen the dying, and I'm going to make sure that the Coldhearts don't get away to do it again. I mean it, Carl. One more step out of line, and you either leave us or you end up dead. You understand?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. I just got carried away, Ryan.
Carl wiped his sleeve across his mouth.
Wouldn't nobody have any drinking liquor, would you, Christy?
Christy shook her head and turned away from Carl.
So what do we do now, lover?
Ryan shouldered the rifle.
Now we have to get in close and careful and have a good wreck. Maybe go in during the night hours. Can't go walking and shooting. They'll butcher us from hiding. Have to find out where they are.
Go in at dawn?
Ryan rubbed the side of his nose with his index finger, looking down into Harmony. They were too far away to make out any details, but they could see the smoke of cooking fires.
Likely dawn will be the choice. Best turn the burros loose and drag this scum off the trail out of sight.
Yeah. You know, the animals might find their way back to town.
You're right. Good thinking. I hadn't... getting careless. The animals come from Harmony?
I believe so.
Then cut their throats, Jack.
They had waited for night near a stand of cottonwoods within a couple hundred yards of the nearest house in Harmonyville. So far, no one knew they were near.
It's time. We'll split up for the wreck. Jack, JB, and Mildred circle north. Doc, me, Christy, and Carl will circle south.
Ryan was hoping Carl's local knowledge of Harmony would pay off. The moon was veiled behind banks of low cloud, and there was the threat of more rain.
Ryan, can I get some sort of blaster, please? It's going to be dangerous, and I can get killed.
You already know my answer. Now we'll meet back here in 4 hours at midnight.
Carl led the way south in a silent, sulky mood. Enough light filtered through for them to make out the main features of Harmony, most of them familiar to Christy. She pointed to a spire.
That's the church where we took Sunday services. That's a school next to it with the bell tower. Our house was up on the bluff, and I can't see it. Why can't I see my old home, Carl?
It got burned down. Lightning strike, years ago now. Came in a dry spell, and there weren't no chance to get water to it. A few other houses went that evening.
Where's the gang holed up?
Spread in different places. The gas wag and the fuel for it's locked away in a barn out back of the sheriff's office.
Who's the sheriff of Harmony now? Used to be Big Ed Fisher.
He's got bad cancer in his back. Last sheriff's a guy called Ludlow Thompson.
Sure, I remember him. He's only a kid. It's a sign of getting old when lawmen get younger.
Well, Ludlow won't be getting no fucking older. One of the stickies ripped out most of his throat. Day before I upped and ran away. Hope you won't mind if I off some of the fuckheads with my hammer here.
I'd be happy to sit out here and let you chill the lot, Carl. Except it doesn't seem like you've had much success in that line.
And you smart-ass outlanders gonna come in hooting and hollering and shooting off them fancy blasters and stop the gang?
Yeah, we are.
As they continued their investigation of the Ville, Ryan realized that an attack would be even easier than he had originally thought. For starters, the gang of killers didn't seem to have any worry of being attacked, either from within the Ville or from outside. There were no sentries posted, and the gang had mostly congregated in the Ville's one saloon, the Pot of Gold.
Stay here. I'm gonna get closer.
I'm coming.
Okay.